your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. God is gracious to us. We are thankful for His many blessings. I do have a couple announcements I want to make tonight. The blood drive that was scheduled for November 20th, it has been moved to December 10th. It'll be, two to seven on December 10th. That will be in the bulletin, and it will be on the announcements on the screen during service, and it'll also be on that sign-up sheet. So if you signed up, just save your blood until December 10th. Don't do anything with it, because on December 10th you can come by and give it. That's been moved December 10th. Also, these baskets up here, you may or may not be able to see them from where you're sitting, but there's several baskets that Miss Lisa has put up here. Miss Lisa Systems, this is going to be Thanksgiving baskets that she will give away to families in need on Wednesday, the week of Thanksgiving. And she said this to tell you to fill it up with Thanksgiving food. She'll handle, if you want to do a canned ham, that is fine. But she said she will handle the turkeys. But all the other fixings for a Thanksgiving meal, she said fill those baskets up. And she wanted to leave these out here in this altar area. And then we'll fill them up. And then we'll dedicate it. And there's more over here. And we'll dedicate them to the Lord that Sunday before she gives them out. So just make note of that, and already right now begin making your purchases as you go to the grocery store, buying Thanksgiving food, she said. And so fill them up. We'll give God the glory. The Lord uses her. We're thankful for her ministry, and she's always reaching out and meeting needs in our community. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 22. Now we read through verse 6 through verse 5, 6, somewhere along in there last week. And so tonight we're going to pick up there and we're going to finish out the book. Now, as soon as we finish the book of Revelation, because there'll be a brief allusion to it tonight, and I won't stop on it long in the text, but we will come back after this, and we are going to do certainly a night on the judgment seat of Christ. Get my mind thinking. The judgment seat of Christ, and we may even come back and do one on the marriage supper of the Lamb, because when the church is raptured out, we're going to be at the marriage supper while tribulation is taking place on earth, and it's worth talking about and understanding the Jewish wedding. So we may visit that as well. But definitely the judgment seat of Christ. That is where you and I will go as believers. We'll stand before the Lord. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, and then certainly on that night. And after that, I know we've got the holidays and all of that, but we're still having church on Sundays and Wednesday nights. So after that, unless the Lord changes my mind, and He may, but at least right now I've got a thought in my heart, because I've never done it myself, and it would be a great pleasure to do. But Paul, in Paul's writings, he wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books. In Paul's writings, maybe 14 if you count Hebrews, Brother Roger, we can discuss the authorship of it later, but 13 of the 27 books, he mentions over 100 people by name. And some of these folks he mentions, they're just in a couple of verses, there's great detail about some of the people he mentions. Now, if the Holy Spirit thought enough of Paul's relationship with these people to have it included in the Bible, then it's worth looking at these people and learning from their lives. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it is kind of like Days of Our Lives or General Hospital or what's the other favorite that you ladies watch? Somebody mention your favorite soap opera, ladies. No, nobody gonna say a word tonight, because everybody's holy here tonight. Nobody watches soap operas. I was just testing you on that. I get it, okay? So some of them, there's great things that are mentioned. We should model ourselves that. And then Paul mentioned some people, and man, I'm telling you, he calls them by name. And I mean, it wasn't good, and he just calls them out. and they're forever recorded in God's Word. But we're going to look at some of those individuals, Lord willing. So tonight, beginning in verse 6, did I tell you 6 or 7? There we go, 6. Okay, good. Verse 6, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." Now you can underline that word "quickly" right there. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So there's the probably the sixth beatitude that is found in the book of Revelations. We give you that challenge over in chapter 1 to find the 7 blessings and promises in the book, but that's probably the 6th, I believe. At least back up there one, if you will. I'm sorry. But "behold, I come quickly." So underline that word "quickly," because that is the first of 3 mentions that we find here in this chapter of that word "quickly." Now, you need to know that that word doesn't mean coming soon, but what it does mean is it means coming swiftly. In other words, suddenly. When a storm comes in, it starts brewing, whatever kind of storm, a hurricane through the Mississippi River Valley, just the thunderstorms moving with the front. We can watch the Weather Channel. We can pull up WeatherBug, pull up the radar on our cell phone. We can watch that front come through. We see those storms approaching through modern technology, and we know exactly when they're going to hit, and we know exactly when they are going to be over with. In fact, Sarah, she's not here tonight. She's been over at the youth house a couple of nights, last couple of weeks. But in fact, tonight somebody had brought us this wonderful dessert, and it was just a small piece, and I had claimed it all for myself. I had eaten half of it and pushed it over in the corner and kind of piled some stuff around it. You know how a dog will do his treat in the dirt. And I was going to eat supper, and I was going to finish that before I come over here. And she found it and ate most of it except a little chunk. And so we had this huge fight over it back and forth. And she finally cut it in half and then swore up and down that I eat part of hers. So I told her I'm sending her to the youth house tonight, and I was going to tell the church that she's laying out to pray for her because she's backslidden. So anyway, there you have it. So we watch through modern technology those storms come. And I remember last fall, I believe it was, there was a tornado come through with a set of storms and maybe come through the Cannon area, but everybody was calling us, telling us a tornado's coming, and we were watching it on the radar, and I felt sure. And so she got the kids up, and when they were getting their clothes on, she was coming to the church basement, and she was like, "What are you going to do?" And I'm like, "I'm just going to sit back here and keep watching TV." I said, "If it hits, it hits. You know, what better way to go? What a story to tell. You got caught up in a tornado." I mean, not many people tell that. And so, but we watched, and it passed. But with the coming of the Lord, that phrase "quickly" does not mean coming soon, though we believe he is, because of the season that we're in. But it particularly means coming suddenly. I'm going to come back to that in just a little while because it's mentioned 3 times. Verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." John's reaction to an angel is to fall on his face, at least a heavenly angel in this visionary setting. And I do want to remind you that angels have appeared to people before, as they did John on the Isle of Patmos. But also, you know, the Bible is very clear that we entertain angels unaware. That many people that we may cross paths with in this life may very well indeed be an angel. And that's often a thought of mine when I cross paths with someone to minister to. Is this the Lord himself, or is this an angel? And so I need to move with a heart of love in this situation. A friend of mine, we're traveling back from Eastern North Carolina one time. We stopped at exit 170 on I-40, the Moxville, North Carolina exit, and went in a Arby's to eat supper one night about 7 o'clock, and it was dark. It was in the fall of the year. And we come out of that restaurant that night telling some kind of story between ourselves. He was a preacher and also a law enforcement officer. And as soon as we walked out the door, you know how a foyer is in Arby's and these fast food places, but as soon as we walked out the door, a man walked right up. We were side by side telling our stories with each other. A man walked right up in front of us, right between us, right in front of us, and asked me, he said, "Sir," he said, "if you don't mind," he said, I'm traveling, and he said, on foot, hitchhiking. And he said, "Would you buy me something to eat?" And because the man didn't ask for money, I said, "Yes, sir, buddy, you come right back on in here." And we went inside, and I give him, I let him order something to eat for supper that night where he would sit down and eat. But I told him, I said, "You go ahead and order a few more roast beefs or whatever it is you want to take with you. Whatever you want to order, you can put it in your backpack and take it with you." And so he did all that. That took me a few minutes, and I went on out to the truck. My buddy was out there waiting, and I unlocked it, and we got in. And he said, "Where was you at? Are you okay?" And I said, "Well, I went back and bought that guy some food." And he said, "What guy?" And I said, "The guy that walked right up to us when we come out of the door and asked for food." He said, "I didn't see no guy." I said, "Doug, you've seen a guy. He walked right up and got in our face and asked me to come in and buy him food." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And so there are the ministry of angels. But to encounter a heavenly angel, John just falls at his feet. We can't judge John for that, because you and I, we would fall as dead men as well, probably. But look in verse 9. "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book." And here he says, here's what the angel says, "Worship God." Worship God. Verse 10. "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Now, notice the difference, because some 650 years before John's on the Isle of Patmos pinning this down, Daniel also had a vision 600 years before this. And the angel told Daniel, said, "Seal these things up. I want you to seal them up. Don't open them up. Don't look at them. Don't reveal them, because the time of the end is not at hand." But here, some 650 years later, after Christ has been born, crucified and resurrected from the dead, and John is receiving this vision, he now says, don't seal the book, this book up, because the time is at hand. So time is winding up. Verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still." So let's just keep reading, then I'll come back to that. Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly." Underline that. That's number 2 in chapter 22. "Behold, I come quickly," again, not coming soon, but suddenly, "and my reward is with me, to give every man according, as his work shall be." So that word "quickly" there, on that radar, we see a storm coming, we see a storm passing today on that Doppler. But the coming of Jesus, there'll be nothing foretold. All has been laid out for us to know the signs of the times, the signs of his coming. And now nothing else has to happen. Despite what those prophecy scholars on TV says, what they say, he's going to come and it will be sudden. It will be quickly, the Bible says. So there'll be no forewarning. We've already been told that he's coming. Verse number 12 is an allusion to the judgment seat of Christ. So we're going to stand and we will receive our reward. I don't want to spend much time there tonight, other than the fact that we will get into heaven grace through faith. That's what gets us into heaven. Not works, not any kind of works, not giving to the offering plate, not giving to missions, not supporting a child overseas, not being a good neighbor, a good mother, a good dad, not being a church member, not being baptized. None of those things will get us into heaven, but we will get into heaven. Our entrance, if you will, our entrance is based on grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now at the judgment seat of Christ, our inheritance is at stake here. This is what we're speaking of in this verse, is is, have we faithfully served Him since we've been saved? And we're going to be rewarded, or there will be a absence of rewards in that day. We'll speak on that in just, well, probably next week, actually. So that's verse 12. Verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Was that verse 15, Miss Elise? I missed that somewhere. Yep, that was verse 15. Okay. We're good. Go to 16. I'll get it together in a minute. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And to him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me say something about verse 17 right there. Listen, the Spirit of God is saying, come. The bride, which is the church, says, come. Those that hear this message, they are to say, come. To those that are athirst, the invitation is given to come. So I want you to notice that for the entire church age, verse number 17 sums up the mission of the church. And that is worldwide evangelism. The mission of the church, the mission of Liberty Baptist Church, is to attempt to reach every boy, girl, man, and woman with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they may be saved, born again into the kingdom of God, and they may not die and go to hell, but have eternity sealed in their hearts by the Spirit of God. And so the mission of the church is to reach lost men, women, boys, and girls. And so that is exactly what we are going to do at Liberty Baptist Church. And folks, listen, don't ever get tired of hearing the gospel of Jesus being preached, because that's how people are saved and born again, and it's our number one mission as a church. It's what we're to be doing as individual soldiers. It's what is to be heralded from our pulpits, from our choir loft, is inviting a world that is lost to come to Jesus and let Him save them. So that's the mission of the church through all the ages. This is what we will do till Jesus comes. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. Now, he's speaking of this book. Biblio, that's where we get the word Bible, that where you see that word book. But he's speaking of the book of Revelation specifically and particularly. So if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So let me say this right here about the book of Revelation. And we talked about this as we began this study, how you interpret the book of Revelation. We talked about how some people, they think it's all just analogies. Some people think it's just, they just super spiritualize everything in the book of Revelation. And so there's many ways to interpret it. And the way we interpreted Revelation is the way we interpret the rest of the Bible, a literal historical interpretation. We take it literal, because if you don't take it literal, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to add some things in here that's not in here. And you're going to have to take away some things that's here that you don't understand. So we're going to just skirt around it, spiritualize it, take it away so we can make sense of it. And so so the book of Revelation is one of those books where people are all over. Again, if you start studying Revelation online, God help your soul if you're not grounded, because I mean there is some of the craziest junk online when you look at Revelation on the World Wide Web. But it is one of those books, and it is the book where people add to it and where people take away from it. But the Lord gives a stern warning about that in verse number 19, verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. There it is, the third time. And by the way, the number three is that number of perfection, that number of completion. And so we see it the third time. Surely I come quickly, amen. That's the Lord saying that. His last words to the church are, surely I come quickly. Many people go to the end of the Gospels, to the resurrection story, and then in Acts to the ascension passage, and claim that those are the last words of Christ. Well, not so. The very last thing we hear from our Lord in the holy book that we hold in our hands is that phrase, surely I come quickly. That's the third time in chapter 22 he has said that. And in response to that, here's what John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Just leave that right there, Miss Elise. So a couple of things here before I come back to this, surely I come quickly. John's response when he is reminded of the suddenness in which our Lord will return, his response is a prayer of sort, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time in your prayer life that you prayed, even so, come, Lord Jesus? When's the last time you've prayed that? Because I believe it's part of our prayer life we ought to be praying. After all, Jesus did say in the model prayer was this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then you pray this in that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in that model prayer that Jesus said to pray, he said one of the things we ought to pray is for his kingdom to come. And here we see John obeying that model prayer and an echo from his heart's cry upon learning of the suddenness of the return of Christ is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why should we pray that? And I remember when I was younger, and I always knew, even as a lost person, I knew that Jesus was coming again because I was just a good old southern boy raised in the mountains, and I went to church, and, you know, everybody believed in Jesus and all that stuff. So I knew, I remembered some Bible preaching from my childhood days, and I knew Jesus was coming, but I remember in my teenage years specifically, I remember thinking, Lord, I don't want you to come yet because I want to live life a little while. I want to experience life. I want to, you know, do my own stuff. I might want to have a wife and eventually have kids and all of that. And so don't come yet, but I just kind of want to be able to experience life. But listen, folks, when we look at the world around us, that's really a very selfish prayer for me to have. I didn't really pray it, but it was a selfish thought for me to have even had. Because when we look at the world around us, we look and we see all of the suffering around us. And you don't have to go to Africa to find suffering. You don't have to go to underground Atlanta to find suffering. You can find suffering right here in Franklin County. You can probably find suffering right inside Liberty Baptist Church, and you just don't know about it. But when you look at all the suffering in the world around us, then when we pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus, we're praying that for an end to all suffering worldwide. Because when the Lord comes, for those that are believers in Christ, all suffering is going to end. When we look at all the inequities and the injustices that are in the world, and when we think about all of the persecution, when we think about the sin, when we think about all of the struggles that we have as believers, when we think about all of the heartache, when we think about all of the sickness, when we think about all of the death and the dying, then listen to me, we have to understand that when he comes, all of these things will be no more. And so as a part of our praying, according to both the teaching of Jesus and what John reflected here from his own heart. When we pray before the Lord, it ought to be part of our prayer every time, where we pray from our heart cry, because we see the world around us and we clearly see that we are pilgrims here. We clearly see that we're wayfaring strangers. We clearly see that this world is not our home, that we're simply passing through. That when we really get a look at the world we live in, then our prayer ought to be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So has that been part of your prayer? And I'll come to verse 21 in just a moment. But three times that word quickly is mentioned. And again, that refers to the suddenness of Christ's return. And so here's what that means. And we need to really do an examination right here of my heart, and you do one of your heart. Here's what that means, that when Jesus comes again, suddenly, quickly, without warning, without announcement, when he comes, as we are at the moment is how we will be found. You understand what I'm saying? If we're not walking in God's will, there'll be no time to get in God's will. If he's got something that we're supposed to be doing for him and we're not doing it, there'll be no time to do it and make it right. This is not like the storm on the Doppler radar where we can say, well, it's coming, it's getting closer, it's going to be here at 8:15 and it'll be gone by 8:20. No, the coming of the Lord won't be like that. The coming of the Lord is going to be so sudden, so quick, that there'll be no time to make things right, to get things right. If there's any sin in your heart that you've not confessed, what you have in your heart at that moment, that is the way, as you are when he comes, is how you will be found. And so this is why we do like the old missionary Bertha Smith said, we keep our sins prayed up to date in all of our prayers. Every time we pray, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of maybe what I failed to do that you'd have me to do. Or forgive me of what I've done that you would forbid me to do. And so we repent. But as he comes, as you are when he comes, is how you will stand before him. And so there'll be no time to make things right. But that's important for the believer. But really, and based on verse 17, where that great invitation is given to lost people worldwide, the Spirit is saying, come. The church is saying, come. And listen, there were days not so many years ago, and I've been a part of a church like this, thank God, but there were days years ago in our churches where church people would get in the altar and they would weep and beg God to bring that lost man, woman, boy, or girl to him and the saving knowledge of him, to move that person. And I have seen altars full of people for one lost person that they knew was in the church before, begging and asking God to save that soul, and then see God move heaven upon that individual based upon the prayers of the saints, and that person step out and come and get saved. But listen, our goal is to see lost people come to Jesus. And so this suddenness of Christ's return is important for the lost man or woman, because when he comes, it's going to be suddenly and quickly. And when he comes and you're lost, understand that you may never be saved after that. Understand that he has allowed you tonight, in this church tonight, if you've never been saved, to be saved by God's amazing grace. Because here's the truth. You will not leave this church tonight. Elizabeth, you can come. You will not leave this church tonight and stand before the Lord one day and say, but Lord, I did not know. I did not understand the gospel. I was not told the gospel. I did not have an opportunity to respond to the gospel. Lord, I did not know that when you come, you would come in suddenness. I thought I would have time. I did not know that it would happen so quickly. And so ignorance will not be a defense. And that plea will not be a defense, because I'm telling you tonight, if you leave this church lost, God has not promised you another invitation of salvation before you stand before him in eternity. And so the Spirit tonight says come. The church says come. This church rejoices when people are saved and give their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen them from all ages in this church, from old to young alike, because we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Revelation ends, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The book of Revelation ends just like it began. Revelation 1, verse 4, it begins with God's grace, and it closes with God's grace. So, to run from this book, dodge this book, not teach this book or preach this book, because it's a book of violence, it's a book of destruction, of judgment, and to make that statement, it doesn't really apply to us, the church. Oh, that's such a failing bunch of words, because listen, the book of Revelation is a shining example of God's grace to the world and to you and I. It starts with grace. It ends with grace. One of the things I did when I had my business, Shepherd's Watch Tactics and Training, I did active shooter plans. I run a class for a while called Officer Survival. It was a class for law enforcement officers, patrol officers particularly, who were going to people's houses, who were stopping people on roadsides, et cetera, et cetera. When I do active shooter plans for churches, hospitals, school systems, et cetera, all of that kind of stuff. And we also, of course, did I run some basic handgun operator classes, which teach people basically combat shooting skills, whether it be the fields of Afghanistan or the Walmart parking lot where you encounter somebody trying to rob you, whatever the case may be. But here's one of the things that I taught, and it's been proven in all of these settings that I mentioned, is when perpetrators have been interviewed about crimes, when they targeted a woman to rape her, when they shot somebody and robbed them, whatever the case may be, these people oftentimes have been spotted on security cameras. And it's been clear that many, many times they had other opportunities with other victims. And so the interview process always includes this. Why did you not choose that lady to be a victim? Because you had her in an alleyway where nobody was watching. Why didn't you choose her to be a victim and you chose the victim that you chose instead? And without exception, the perpetrator would always say, because I felt like that first lady was prepared. Or whether if it was a robbery, it would be the same situation. They would ask the robber, they'd say, look, you had an opportunity to stab or shoot or rob this other individual, but you walked by them. Why did you not choose them as a victim instead of the person you chose? And the response is the same, because that individual looked prepared. I know an FBI agent, and for 20 years he's been studying officer-involved shootings, and many of them have been where the officers died, but all of them are where officers were shot. And there's two common factors in this situation. Number one, almost every suspect has had previous encounters with law enforcement officers, previous run-ins with law enforcement officers, and then they eventually got to a place where they shot an officer or shot and killed an officer. And so this FBI agent, he has asked them, he's made it his life mission and work and research to go to these individuals and talk to them. And one of the questions he always asks them is this, is look, on such and such a day, at such and such a time, you were dealt with by another officer. Why did you not shoot and kill that officer? Why did you not shoot that officer that dealt with you 6 months ago or last year or 6 years ago? Why did you shoot and kill the one you killed and not that one? And the answer is the same again. It's because that officer I dealt with 6 months ago, I felt like he was prepared. And he says, and they would say, the one I shot and killed, I didn't think he was prepared, and I felt like I could take him. And so I stressed in all of this training is preparedness. that if you're prepared, more than likely you will never be a victim if you're prepared. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. The greatest question that could ever be presented to you on a Wednesday night at Liberty Baptist Church is this question. Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Because if you're prepared, you will never die without Christ. If you are prepared, you will never spend an eternity in hell. If you are prepared, you'll never stand at the great white throne judgment and hear Christ look at you and say, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." If you are prepared, you will never stand at that great white throne judgment as he searches the books and the book of life. You will never hear him say, "Your name is not written herein. Depart from me into everlasting punishment." If you are prepared, heaven is your home. Eternity is sealed for you by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you too can pray, and when you pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." So I'm going to ask you this tonight. Are you prepared? For the believers, what that means is this. You get up and you come to this altar knowing that Jesus will come quickly and suddenly. It can happen at any moment. And I just thoroughly want my life to be as right as it can be if he comes before 10 o'clock rolls around tonight. Maybe some sin I hadn't confessed today. Maybe something I need to be doing. I need to get busy with it. Maybe somebody I needed to go see. Somebody I needed to talk to. Whatever the case may be. And I need to do that. Then you come as believers and just get your heart and your life ready, because he's coming suddenly and he's coming quickly. And maybe you've never prayed that part of that prayer, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," then come tonight. And just let that be a part of your regular prayer life, is praying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." But if you're here and you're lost, I'm going to ask you to step out of your pew and come into this aisle like so many have done. So many have done. Let me ask you this. If you were saved in a church meeting on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, odd night of the week, at revival night, whatever the case may be, if you were actually saved in church, you actually walked an aisle and come to the altar and somebody led you to Jesus, will you just raise your hand right now? So what I just want you to know is, by looking around, it would not be strange for you to come to the aisle and walk down the aisle and get in this altar and let me lead you to Jesus. In fact, for what we just saw, it's very common. Many of us have been saved in other places. We might have been saved out in the churchyard, been saved in the office at work, saved in your bedroom like I was. But a whole lot sure have been saved in this altar at church. And so I'm asking you tonight, if you're not prepared, it would not be a strange thing at all for you to stand up, come out into that aisle, lock eyes with me as you come, so I will know to meet you here, and I'll meet you in this altar and we'll point you to Jesus. Are you prepared tonight? Stand. Elizabeth, you sing. If you need to come, you come right now. Come. Just obey the Lord. Come.